we'll get the local scores that matter to you and hear from the coaches and players that make it happen. Now, here's your host, Dave Watson.
And good morning, and as the man said, I'm Dave Watson, and good morning, and welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner here on Radio Sioux, of course, your local sports show that we cap off what's going on in the area and talk to the people that make it happen as well, get you caught up on scores, all kinds of good stuff. And on today's Coach's Corner, we will hear from the USA Under-17 Hockey a head hockey coach, a familiar name to the area, Sheboygan's own Adam Nightingale, who played a lot of his youth hockey here in the Sioux, along with his brother Jason. Also, both of them played for a time at Lake Superior State as well, and we got caught up with Adam. He was also of coaching the Detroit Red Wings as an assistant coach the last 3 years, and now he has a really good gig as the head coach of the Under-17 USA Hockey Development Program located in Plymouth, Michigan. And we'll get caught up with Adam coming up. Second half of the show, Matt Parker, another familiar voice to Coach's Corner, and of course, to Radio Sioux. We've had him on analyzing Sioux High hockey in the past. Matt Parker will join us, and Matt is with the Lake State Hockey Club team, along with Steve Canisto, a former Laker, and running that program in their first year with that club hockey program, and its inception this year. We'll get to know what's going on with Laker hockey, club hockey, that is, with Matt Parker coming up second half of the show. All that this week in high school sports, in much more, but first, to the scores that matter from last night. We start, of course, in high school football. That's primarily what we have going on right now. And Sioux High football closed out the season against their arch rivals, the Sheboygan Chiefs, and they took Sheboygan out back behind the woodshed. Yes, you heard me right. 60-0. Sioux High thumping the Chiefs. A game never was in doubt. Devils had a big game from Chris Pierce with a couple of touchdowns. John Robinson had a couple of TD runs. Ryan LaPlante had a couple of touchdown runs, including a 49-yard scamper in the second half for Sioux High. Blue Devils blocked a punt for a safety. Chiefs struggled mightily in the punting game and just simply could not move the ball much at all, as they are struggling. But being a Sioux High grad, and of course, playing Blue Devil football way, 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 way back in the day, there's no tears being shed for me, or I think a lot of people, as Sheboygan used to give a thump into Sioux High, if you recall, many, many decades. At the Blue Devils thump the Chiefs last night 60-0. Sioux High finishes 4-2 on the truncated season, 3-1 in Northern Michigan Football League Legends Division action behind Kingsley, who won the division. Sheboygan finishes 0-6. Everybody, though, makes the playoffs, and that starts next week, and Sioux High more than likely will be home to start the postseason and have a good shot, if they're successful as well, next week to host two playoff games. The MHSA playoffs for football will be announced tomorrow at noon. Just a release, no selection show this year. Elsewhere, teams in Sioux High's playoff region, Cadillac, thumps Gaylord 51-14. Vikings are the top seed in D4 district run Region 1 as well. And, of course, that means they will get a bye in the playoffs in the first round, and they'll wait for the second round. They will wait probably for the Alma Bay City John Glenn winner, which we think that's what will be the matchup in that top half of the bracket. Speaking of Alma, they fell to Midland Bullock Creek last night 6-3. Bay City John Glenn lost to Freeland 35-14. Both teams are below 500. Most likely John Glenn will play Alma next week for the right to play Cadillac. Other half of the bracket, where Sioux High appears to be, Ludington narrowly escaped Lake City 6-0. Escanaba, this is only their third game. They're a dangerous team, folks. They won in the backyard brawl against Gladstone last night, and that was a 20-14 win last night for Escanaba, 20-12 win in Happy Rock against their rivals, the Gladstone Braves. Now, as they could move to the sixth seed from seventh, could Escanaba in the region. All eyes are on Saginaw Arthur Hill, and they play Saginaw High today in a battle of winless teams. Boy, the Saginaw teams really struggled this year. Heritage also had a not a very good year, but Arthur Hill and Saginaw High will play, and that will pretty much formulate what's going to go on next week. Could be Arthur Hill for Suhai. It could be Escanaba. We'll find out tomorrow at noon. Locally, Cedarville wins in a turnover fest past Rudyard on a sloppy field. Of course, we've received a lot of rain in the area, and the Van Sitters is a muck fest. Be careful how I say that. A muck fest last night at the Van Sitters. And last night, Cedarville 20-6 over Rudyard. That game in Rudyard. West Iron County, the Wycons run past St. Ignace by a score of 36-22. Saints do have one win on the campaign. NMFL action. Kingsley was pushed by Benzie Central, but they win 36-20. Kingsley's known to have big second halves, and they did in that case. Grayling upsets Ogama Heights in West Branch, 29-14. Big North Conference play. Petoskey falls to TC West. Titans have really gotten good the last couple of weeks. A big win at home against Cadillac. Now they go to P-Town and beat the Northmen 27-21. Traverse City Central, intriguing matchup here, went down to Southeast Michigan to take on perennial powerhouse Macomb Dakota. Dakota hammers the Trojans 42-16. Welcome to the Detroit area, Dakota said there. Around the UP, Marquette pounds Calumet in the Copper Country 28-6. Burke River Harris blanks Launce 28-0. Lakeland and Hubble 6-2. That's a hockey or a baseball score. Pass Munising, Mustangs just mustered a safety, and several cancellations in the area, including Pickford home to Brimley, as that was a forfeit win for Pickford. Brimley had a COVID situation this week. Last week, it was Pickford off on a COVID situation, so the Panthers went through the playoffs, haven't played in 3 weeks. That's how the world we live in right now, and of course, we're all hoping and crossing our fingers that it changes here in the not-too-distant future. To the ice we go. Sioux Eagles played in Wisconsin against Janesville in the North American Hockey League. Janesville Jets shut out the Eagles 6-0. Same two teams, 2 o'clock. They'll drop the puck in Janesville, Wisconsin. Sioux Indians AAAs are in action on the ice tonight at 6 at the Able Arena. Tomorrow at 10 a.m., bring a mask, free of charge. Wear that mask and watch hockey at the Able Arena. Fox Motors in town from Grand Rapids. And, of course, Timmy Christian, the former Laker assistant, is coaching that team. Today, the UP finals for cross country for girls and boys in, of course, cross country running. Runners will be at Pictured Rocks Golf Course in Munising. Good luck to all the runners in the cross country UP finals going on. Jimmy Martin's Blue Devils, of course, Joelle Hivernan's Brimley Bays, and several other, of course, Rudyard, all the EUP teams, and should be a lot of fun there. Hopefully they grab some hardware in Munising today. Those are the scores that matter from last night. When we return here on Coach's Corner, Adam Nightingale with the USA Under-17 team will join us. We'll talk to Adam coming up. This is Coach's Corner at 11:13. Good morning here on 1230 WSOO.
Protect you and maintain your good health. The Sioux Tribe Health Center has implemented COVID-19 pandemic guidelines to keep you and your family safe during your visit to the facilities. At the facility entrance, patients are pre-screened for COVID-19, provide a face mask if needed, and require the patient to confirm a daily password. Be cautious, be safe with the Sioux Tribe Health Center. For more information, go to SiouxTribeHealth.com.
Who hasn't felt protective lately of our families, our communities, our resources? In times like these, we all fight to make sure our people are safe. But at the American Cancer Society, our people, our community, our family is made up of millions of cancer patients and their families. So keeping them safe takes everyone's help. During COVID-19, help us keep vital resources available to cancer patients. Please donate to the American Cancer Society at cancer.org.
This is Mark Sinangelo, Operations Manager at Sovereign Communications. I've taken over the 1230 WSO morning show during this coronavirus pandemic. We've been providing you with up-to-date news and information concerning COVID-19 and its effects on our community. We've interviewed federal, state, and local officials to help keep you informed, and I pledge that we'll stay on top of this for as long as this crisis continues. So stay safe, stay at home, and just as you have for the past 80 years, know that you can depend on Radio Sioux for the most accurate, reliable news and information from 1230 WSOO.
And now back to Coach's Corner with Dave Watson on 1230 WSOO.
Welcome back to Coach's Corner here on Radio Sioux. We are now joined by Adam Nightingale, the head coach of the USA Under-17 Development Program, of course, in Plymouth, Michigan. And no stranger Adam is to Sioux St. Marie hockey in hockey circles here in the Sioux. And we say good morning to Adam, and thanks for joining us here on Coach's Corner.
No, awesome, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Now, how are things going? Of course, you're in your first year with the program as the head coach with the under-17s, and how have things gone thus far?
Well, it's been a lot of fun. You know, I think it was a whirlwind to start. I think got the job on a Wednesday, and then the kids got here on Sunday, so there was a lot of kind of catching up to do, and they got here, and then it was full go with practice, and then you know, obviously, with COVID and everything, there's some things that are up in the air as far as games and schedule, but it's a really good group of kids and fun to work with.
Now, of course, Adam is in his first year with the development program, a program, of course, along with the under-18 program at USA Hockey and the development programs down in Plymouth, Michigan, and they attract the best budding young hockey talent pretty much in the country. Hey, Adam, that's the goal.
Yeah, no, we're super, super fortunate that, you know, between the facilities we have and the resources really it comes down to the opportunity to represent your country, that the top players are excited about the opportunity of doing it. So, and then it's our job to try to help them get better.
Adam, what was it about this job that you said, no, I'm going to take this on?
I think there was a few things. You know, I wanted to be a head coach, and I think that, you know, those jobs are few and far between, and really competitive to try to become a head coach. I think this age in particular, I have experience when I first started coaching at Shattuck St. Mary's, and it's just a unique age where you can make an impact not only on the ice but off the ice. And then the third thing would, USA Hockey has been so good to me. You know, as a player, you know, I'm a product of it, and then I've been fortunate enough to represent our country at four major IIHF events, and so when you put the three of those together and the opportunity was there, it was something that I couldn't pass up.
Now, of course, prior going to the USA squad, and Adam mentioned a portion of his lengthy resume, you were with the Detroit Red Wings, and I believe 3 years, wasn't it, Adam, collectively?
Yeah. Yep. 3 years in 3 years in Detroit, and that was a unreal opportunity. And she worked for Coach Blashill, obviously his ties to the Sioux, and just took the time to help me grow. And then just being a Michigander, having an opportunity to work for the Detroit Red Wings is something special I'll never forget.
What was it about being there in the two different positions that you were with the Red Wings as an assistant coach that helped prepare you for being a head coach?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is learning from the people I've worked under that has helped prepare me. Maybe go back to my time at Shattuck. You know, I worked for Tom Ward, and you look at his history of developing high-end players and developing teams, and working at Michigan State for Rick Conley and Tom Anastas. Those guys both taught me a lot about leading people. And then in the NHL with Dan Bylsma at Buffalo, you'd won a Stanley Cup in Pittsburgh with our Olympic coach. Has a really successful background. And then Blash. So I think the combination of working for all those people at the end of the day helped prepare me for this.
What are the differences in coaching as far as if there is any from going with the under-17 team, obviously heavy still on skill development and things of that nature, as opposed to, being with a team that you're competing for a league title? In this case, you guys are, kind of taking on a lot of international competition, things of that nature, but you're pretty much all over the place. But what are some of the big differences that you foresee?
I think the amount of time that we're able to practice is awesome. I mean, we when I worked in the NHL, you look at the schedule of 82 games and traveling and the wear and tear on guys' body. You're looking at just a handful of practices a month, really. Then when you, and even those are short, they're 40 minutes and 45 minutes, and then, you know, because you got to keep guys fresh and healthy, so you're just kind of brushing up on things. And and it's not a development league; it's a straight performance league. We're here to develop these kids, and obviously, at the end of the day, we want to win hockey games too. But it's really important that we spend our time focused on and helping them develop, and we believe that's done in practice. And so that would be the biggest difference: the amount of time that we're able to practice with these guys.
We're joined by Adam Nightingale, of course, the head coach of the USA Under-17 program down in Plymouth, Michigan. Adam, of course, no stranger to Sault Ste. Marie, playing a lot of youth hockey here up the ranks, him and his brother Jason, and of course, Sheboygan, Michigan native as well. And a few weeks back, Adam, the Under-17s were here in the Sioux, playing the Sioux Eagles for a pair of games at the Polar Stadium. Thoughts on your team's play from those games a few weeks ago? And obviously, had it been a kick for you to be able to, you know, have your team play in a rink that you played in, you and your brother did, for, you know, many years growing up.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. You know, we're super thankful that the Eagles with Bruno and Doug were open to us coming up and playing. You know, I think with the COVID and everything, there was a lot of question marks on when we were going to be able to play. And so this game weren't originally on the schedule. So for them to have us up, we really appreciated it. And it was great. I mean, our kids really enjoyed the trip. You know, a lot of them never been across the Mackinac Bridge, and most of them have never been to the Sioux, and you know, we stayed at the Ojibwe there and got to show the kids the locks, and then to play at the Polar, which is really one of the gems of our game, and brought back some great memories, and we were able to connect with some friends. So it was a good trip.
You know, Adam, when you have the type of skill level that you have with the under-17s, these fellas are considered the best of the best. Does it change at all how you go about coaching them and the things of that nature? Because, you know, you have these kids, some would say an all-star team, but I don't like to use that term. But does it change at all?
No, I don't think it. And that's one thing I think I've learned. I've been at various levels. I mean, I've coached Bantam, midget, college, juniors, pro, and now back here. And I think at the end of the day, as a coach, your job's to manage people. And I think when you look at people, you look at them as people first and players second. You know, I think at the end of the day, our job's to set a standard and hold each player to that standard and hold our team to that standard. And if they fall short of it, you hold them accountable. And if they do meet or exceed that, then you make sure they know that they did it well too. So that's our approach as a staff. And I feel like it's been going well so far.
You know, of course, you mentioned COVID-19 that, you know, has been on all our minds for the last, at the top of the mind, for the last 8 months or so, and it's really affected sports. And how has that changed your schedule and how you go about things with your program?
Yeah, so, you know, typically the kids go to a brick-and-mortar school, and now everything's online. So our kids are actually at the rink all day. We have a beautiful facility down in Plymouth where there's a classroom and there's the gym and there's two ice sheets. And so they're here along with the 18s. They're at the rink all day. And we follow schedules to make sure that they don't cross each other's paths. And so if one team's in the classroom, the other's on the ice, and one team's on going into the weight room, the other one's could be training in a different area. So I think we're just trying to be real conscious of that and quote unquote keeping them in a somewhat of a bubble as best we can. And then as far as our schedule, you know, we're supposed to do the World Under 17 Challenge in Prince Edward Island. That was canceled. And but I think that's something, you know, as coaches, we talk to our players all the time about focusing on things you can control, and we can't control you know, decisions that are made and based on this virus. But, you know, we can control that we wear a mask. We can control that we keep our bubble tight, and then just our effort and attitude at practice on a daily basis.
You know, Adam, the one thing, and you kind of alluded to it a little bit, the one thing that you guys have down at the USA Development Programs that you know, as far as flexibility, I would have to think you guys have a lot more flexibility and be able to, you know, like you said, put in a bubble and things of that nature, maybe a little more, you know, avenues to testing and things of that nature than, you know, perhaps some other programs would be able to have. So you have, I would have to think, a little more broad range of flexibility.
Yeah, no, we are. We're again, we're super, super fortunate. I think, you know, for all everyone going through this, there's no roadmap to how to handle it. So, you know, we all have to kind of, you know, be creative. And I think at the end of the day, though, if we, you know, put everyone's safety first and base our decisions on that. And again, like you said, we're fortunate to the fact that we have space to bring our kids in and do school. And we have a lady by the name of Lisa Balmers who runs our academic side, and she runs classroom, and these kids are in all different, there's 8 different online schools that on our team that the kids attend, and she does a great job monitoring that. So yeah, it's just about being flexible and making sure we keep the players' safety first.
Adam Nightingale with the USA Under-17 program is with us, of course, no stranger to the Sioux and a Sheboygan native, as well, as we mentioned, and we're on Coach's Corner. I'm your host, as always, Dave Watson. And Adam, what kind of team logistically is your program as far as your team?
Sorry, I'm on the. It was breaking up there.
Sorry about that. What kind of team logistically are the Under-17s?
As far as our schedule?
Yeah, as far as the team, team itself and what you go through in a game, what kind of a team individually do you have as together?
Yeah. No, you know, I think just from talk, one of our coaches, Nick Ford, has been here 9 years, and one thing he talked to me early on is, you know, every group we're going to get here will be different, and it's kind of our job to kind of find the best way to play for that group, with having in the big picture mind we're trying to develop these guys to be high-end players. So when I look at our team, I think we got a lot of skill and a lot of speed, and I think it's a really competitive group. So if you were to come watch our team, you know, we'd hope that that's what you'd see, a team that uses its speed to its advantage and skill and is ultra competitive.
You mentioned Nick Ford. There's another gentleman with Sioux St. Marie hockey ties. You have to dip in the archives a little bit, but and Nick, yeah, of course, played for the Sioux Indians back in the day.
Yeah. No, it's a small world. So he was on the first Indians team that played out of the Polar. You know, obviously, I know the Indians were around prior to that, but I think it would have been 95, 96.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and he was able to connect with his billet families, and we were up there. So yeah, hockey's definitely a small world. He's been fun to work with.
I remember we interviewed him during a Laker hockey game when he was with an assistant with the Omaha team, Nebraska Omaha, and of course, you know, he's been around quite a while. But you know, we talked about your time with the Wings, Adam, and with Coach Blashill and company. But you look back at your time in Sault Ste. Marie, and plenty of coaches and players, especially coaches, that I would imagine you're like a sponge to be able to soak up some knowledge here, because you have quite the extensive background of all the different coaches. And of course, you know, we've had some of the great youth coaches, you know, up here in Sault Ste. Marie, from a Bob Brown to a Gary Brown and you know, Rodney Wilcox, and you can go on and on and on. But I'd imagine, and those names have changed, you know, from the time you were here. But I would imagine you look back, and there's quite the extensive knowledge there of hockey knowledge here in the Sioux.
Oh my gosh, yeah, no, it was again. You talk about how lucky our family was. You know, neither of my parents played hockey. They both were athletes. They're super supportive and knew that we had a passion for it. So they started a search. And, you know, I look back, I'll never forget coming out of the North Center. My older brother was skating, and we ran into Con Mitro. Didn't know him at all. And we ended up talking to him for about an hour. And I remember my eyes just being wide open, because I could tell how much passionate he was about the game. But, well, you could have bumped into a lot of different people that potentially could have led you in the wrong direction. And he was a great example for him and my billet dad, Ed Pingator, when I played for the Indians. I'm still close with him, and he had coached my older brother, so for sure made a big impact. And when I played junior hockey, Joey Sean was our coach and did a great job. Again, still in close. He's coaching Michigan Tech now, and John Peroni and Rick Corbier and John LaFontaine, and I mean, the list goes on and on. So yeah, you talk about a great hockey community and great people as well.
Well, you mentioned a couple, grandfather type legendary names in the hockey circles, and the Pingators and the Mitros, and like you said, we could go on and on and on for days with the type of people we had. And I remember the time when you and your brother came here, and it was, pretty much before Sheboygan had hockey really going. They've come a long ways in the 25, 30 years since then, down in Sheboygan. But to be able to have a town close to the Sioux at a young age, it had to have been a real good thing.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, yeah, because we just had that outdoor rink in Sheboygan when we were growing up, and eventually we got that indoor rink. But again, such a great hockey community with great people, and to have it, our supportive parents that were willing to, because it still was a drive,
Oh yeah,
you think about that in the winter.
Especially in the wintertime.
We had other families. Yeah, yeah, and there was other families from Sheboygan that did it as well, that helped with in carpooling, and so yeah, to have access to that type of hockey that close and still be in a small community, I think that really was really good for us. It's growing up in a smaller town, it's a different way of living than maybe the Detroit area. So I think that was a perfect fit for my brothers and I.
Adam, good luck as always to the USA Under 17 program there, and congratulations on the gig. And thanks for taking time out of your schedule and joining us here on Coach's Corner.
No problem. Anytime, Dave. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Adam Nightingale, of course, at the USA Under 17 hockey program, the development program in Plymouth, Michigan. And we will continue with more Coach's Corner in a moment on 1230 WSOO.
And now back to Coach's Corner with Dave Watson on 1230 WSOO.
And welcome back to Coach's Corner here on 1230 WSOO at 11:42. Good morning. Our second guest is here. Our old pal Matt Parker is with us here. Of course, Matt's with the Laker Hockey Club team. They started a new program up at Lake Superior State, a club hockey team. Last week, we had Linda Bouvet on with the softball club program, and now we have Matt on. I wanted to have my old partner on the air on to talk about this. Of course, he's been coaching in and out of coaching for quite a while, Sioux Firehawks and all kinds of youth hockey teams from the Sioux to St. Ignace. And of course, we say good morning to Matt. How you doing, fella? Been a while since we've had you on.
Good morning, Dave. It's a pleasure, man. It's great to be back. Thanks for the invite.
Laker Hockey Club team. Tell us about it. Tell us how you got involved.
Oh, well, our good buddy Tommy Coates, a lot of people know Tommy. I've harassed him for a number of years about getting club hockey going at Lake State. I'm a big believer, and there's a vast majority of kids out there that are not NCAA D1 material, may not be NCAA D3 material, but they're still great kids, still high school standouts, youth standouts. I can believe that's a recruiting tool that can help the university boost enrollment. And after poking Tommy a couple times, unbeknownst to me, the school had already been in on that. They'd already had that thought. They're looking to expand club sports as a whole. Hockey, men's and women's hockey, baseball, softball that Linda's been running for years, and a lot of other sports, lacrosse. So they've already kind of delved into that and did a lot of their own research on it. Timing's, a big thing. I believe in timing, and it just kind of worked out for me. And Tommy kind of told me to keep my head down and keep working at it, and applied for the job, and lucked out. I got a job with another good friend of mine, Steve Canisto, so it's been a joy so far.
My neighbor too, Steve, just lives up the road from me there. Yeah. And of course, a former Laker, and and just, I think, hung up his skates, didn't he? He was playing minor league hockey all the way up until, of course, well, COVID-19 and all this stuff hit. But, of course, a former Laker that started with Lake State back in the day and, of course, played is a Sioux Michigan product as well. And he has an extensive background on the ice.
Yeah, and so Steve and I have been friends since we were kids, since we were probably about 14. Our moms were friends, still are friends, still are good friends. And Steve and I have always chatted. Even when he moved away after and went and played his juniors in the USHL, we would chat on a regular basis. Phones weren't obviously as big when him and I were back friends then. But then, of course, when he went to his 4 years at Lake State, we were together a lot. We still talked a lot. All his years, 10 years of playing pro, Steve and I would talk on a pretty regular basis, you know, once or twice a month, you know, two or three times. And I knew he kind of always wanted to get into coaching. And then last year when he was playing in Tulsa, he had a pretty significant knee injury. I've been wanting to get this program at Lake State back going for a while now. And I know that Steve's always wanted to get into coaching. So it kind of worked out perfectly. Steve's that guy. He's that face of the program. He's really the face of our men's team. He is our head coach. With his Division I experience, his pro hockey experience, he's played for some great teams in the East Coast League. He's been a captain. He's been an assistant captain. He's got a wealth of knowledge. So with Steve and all his experience of pro and D1 and being at Lake State, and both of us growing up in that program since we were kids, literally, is an absolute joy. I mean, that is so much fun for him and I to be together every day. Like I said, we're best friends. We've been friends for a long time. We've been through a lot. So Steve and I now getting the opportunity that we have to be guys that grew up in the program, guys that watched, you know, some of the greatest come through there, that we grew up with Laker hockey, and to have recruits on campus where Steve and I are now trying to do our best to, you know, really cannonball into the pool of ACHA hockey at Lake State. All the teams in the GLIAC have it, and to be able to get an opportunity to do that with one of your best friends and see him every day. We're at the rink at 6 a.m. usually, and walking out at, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock every day, and it's a dream come true. Couldn't be more excited with what we're doing. And Steve and I are going to hopefully be around for a while and do some big things at Lake State.
The club team, are they in a league, or how does that go about? I know it's a lot
of both. Yeah,
it's a lot different right now. Not to interrupt you, I know we had Linda on last week, and she said, you know, that a lot of teams they play can't travel right now. If I have this correctly, I don't want to misquote her. And they were traveling a lot. Are you guys kind of in the same boat?
We're pretty much in the same boat. We're currently not able to travel until the Division I team plays, which I believe it's going to be hopefully before the end of the new year. So hopefully we'll get some games in. We do have some tentative plans. We are going to be getting into a league on the women's side of things, which is the CCWHA, the Central Collegiate Women's Hockey Association. Okay. And then on the men's side of things, there are quite a few options for us. We're looking, you know, if things get a little more normal in our world, if hopefully Lake State can be a developer in a new league with ACHA hockey between Michigan Tech, Northern Michigan, Michigan State, Ferris State, Bowling Green, basically the CCHA. Steve and I are working on that. We're putting some bugs in some ears to see that now that all these schools are going back to the CCHA, you know, hey, let's all get together, let's make something work, and let's have a CCHA, basically, and do the same thing that the women have, but with all of the teams that Lake State's Division I team would be playing.
Now, the women's, that will be a club team?
Yeah, both teams are Division II ACHA club hockey.
And tell us the differences as far as with club hockey as opposed to, you know, the sanctioned Division I and Division III college hockey.
Yeah, so your biggest difference is obviously these kids are not NCAA athletes. There's a lot of stipulations. They don't have to go through NCAA clearinghouse, lots of stuff like that. There's not a... It's difficult to become an NCAA athlete. You still have your sanctioning through ACHA. You still need to maintain your GPA. You still have to have a certain amount of credits. But it's very much sports for those non-D1 athletes. It's very much sports for those not those kids. You're still maintaining good grades. You still have to go to class. You're still getting a lot of the same experience. but you're just not that D1 person, which is phenomenal. That's fine. There's a lot of kids out there that aren't those athletes, which is what we'll hope to get to Lake State. We just had a big recruit on the women's side from St. Louis that was on campus on Friday. But the biggest difference would be, of course, that NCAA D1 is, you know, the cream of the crop. We're hopefully going to be competing with teams that would be an NCAA D3. If a male or female was thinking either an NCAA D3 school or Lake State ACHA D2, with who we have involved in the university, with what the university's giving us, with as much as they're buying into the process and what they want to do and how much they want to grow the game, Steve and I very much believe that we could get that recruit to come to Lake State. So along the lines of that NCAA D3, we're hoping that we will be recruiting at that same level. And if we were recruiting for a kid that was making a decision between those two schools, Lake State offers a lot of the same thing for a much cheaper price.
11:50 here on Coach's Corner on Radio Sioux. Dave Watson with Matt Parker with the Laker Hockey Club team. And Matt, you mentioned recruiting, and that was one of my next questions. You can recruit and things of that nature.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, Steve and I started this job June 10th with the expectation of fielding a men's team to compete this year, and the expectation of fielding a women's team to compete this year. Steve and I spent a lot of time together. We spent a lot of long days together, and we were able to field a men's team, a competitive men's team of 26 guys. We were able to field a women's team of 21. So yeah, our recruiting is hard at it. I mean, we recruit every single day.
So you guys coach them both, or how's that work?
Yeah, Steve's the head coach of the men's team, and I'm the assistant coach. I'm the head coach of the women's team, and he's the assistant for me. I do the vast majority of the scheduling, and a lot of that is I had done it previously when Joe Essen and I had tried starting this about 6 years ago. But there was just not, timing wasn't right. It didn't pan out with the university.
Right.
And I do the majority of the scheduling. And a lot of that is Steve was in on it. You know, he learned that process as a pro hockey player, but until you're actually making those calls and setting up those schedules. So I do that. And then Steve and I do all the recruiting for both programs.
How many games typical in a season? Not a typical year.
Not a typical year. Hopefully next year when, you know, life's quote-unquote back to normal, we'll play 25, 28 games, and then you'll go to regionals and hopefully nationals.
And, of course, you play right there at the Able Arena. Like, when would the games be? Obviously opposite of when Laker hockey, when they would be playing.
Yeah, so that's exactly our schedule. Damon's been phenomenal with us. We've gotten a lot of help from Damon. We got a lot of help in the long lines of equipment and ice time and everything like that. He's been super great with Steve and I with kind of opening the door and helping us and giving us ideas as to, you know, how to utilize the space best at the university and practices and everything like that. So that's made life a lot easier. But yeah, it's plain and simple. You know, if they're at home, we're on the road. If they're on the road, we're at home. And we do our best. My scheduling, I've done the best where both our men's and women's teams will play the same team a lot of times, because Lake State's actually kind of last in line in the GLIAC to jump on board with this. So there's a lot of universities, basically all the universities in the GLIAC already have a men's and women's hockey team.
Okay.
So we're hopefully going to work it out where if, you know, the basketball teams are playing Saginaw Valley and the D1 team's on the road, hopefully we're going to have Saginaw Valley's men's and women's hockey teams in town. So, and that'll just basically be, you know, one night, Friday, the guys will play at 7:30, the girls might play at 9:00. Or the girls might play Saturday at 1 o'clock, guys will play Saturday at 7, and then the girls will finish up with a Sunday morning game.
Okay.
So there'll be plenty of hockey around campus. When everything gets back to normal and we really get playing some games up here and get playing some games on campus, if the D1 team's not at home, you're going to be able to walk into the North Center and go to the left and see men's and women's hockey and go to the right and see basketball or volleyball once everything gets back to going.
And that would be a good thing. And the Norris Center can be just a busy place for activity, and never could have enough hockey.
No, not at all. And that's been the benefit of what we're doing. And hopefully there's some big plans. There's some big plans if this thing goes well and Steve and I are able to make this grow. We have a phenomenal club sports director. She's actually, you might recognize the name, Ruth Ann Cantile. Her dad was the man that the rink was named after in Sheboygan.
Oh, yeah. Ralph, was it?
Ralph Cantile. So she's been out in Minnesota for a while. She's worked with programs like Bemidji State. She was actually, if I'm speaking correctly, the first women's coach at Bemidji State's NCAA D1 team.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then she'd been working with Minnesota State for a while, so she's got a great background and a great history with women's hockey to begin with and just hockey in general. So between her, she's doing all of club sports as the director, but of course the first sport that we've been getting up and running because, you know, being a hockey town, the easiest one to get, not easiest one, but the fastest one to get off the ground and get going was men's and women's hockey. So she's been phenomenal with helping Steve and I and giving us a lot of direction. And then it's been the three of us just hitting the ground running.
Matt, great to have you on again.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
We'll have to have you on again.
Yes.
And next time, try to bring Steve. And, We'll have both of you on at the same time.
We'll get Steve over here.
We'll certainly have you on here again this year when you guys get some games under your belt and talk about the team. And we'll definitely have you on. Like I said, bring Steve with you.
Yep.
And it sounds like a good thing you're doing. I'm glad you're back involved. I knew you couldn't stay away. And that's good to see. But thanks again for stopping by. All right. That is Matt Parker, of course, at the Laker Hockey Club team that they started. Go on and see him when they have some games going. Him and Steve Canisto running the show there, and you'll see some good quality club hockey with both the men and women, as they both have a men and women's team. We'll be back to close up shop here in a moment. This is Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO.
Just in from the Colonel. Colonel Sanders, that is. KFC is officially open. Now you can find all the Colonel's crispy goods.
Back to close-up shop for this week's Coach's Corner, and I'm your host, Dave Watson, here at 11:57 here on Radio Sioux. And, of course, Coach's Corner every Saturday morning here on the program. And let's see, as I'm looking for my notes, got to have my typewritten notes here. And, yes, I have them back here. Coach's Corner, of course, here on Radio Sioux as we close up shop. A reminder, the game with Scott Nason returns on Monday night, 6 to 8 p.m. over on ESPN 1400. First hour, local sports talk. Sioux Eagles head hockey coach Doug LaPrade will stop by. Second hour will be national and regional sports as the roundtable Scotty brings in will be Butch on Sports, E.J. Russell from Escanaba, and a cast of thousands with Scotty. It's the game on Monday night over on ESPN 1400 with Scott Nason. And you also can catch it on thegamesportsshow.com. They have several podcast areas and avenues that you can catch that show amongst the all the sports shows they do. Butch has one, EJ, and of course Scotty's all over the place as well. And you'll hear him in a variety of different areas there on different podcasts, but thegamesportsshow.com and the game every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. over on ESPN 1400. Sioux High football will open up playoff action next Friday or Saturday. We'll find out tomorrow, and it will be posted, of course, online and no selection show, and we will post it on our Facebook page, on the WSOO Facebook page. Mark St. Angelo will have it. Details on the morning show on Monday. We'll get that to the Moose as well and let you know when they'll play, who they'll play, and we believe it will be at the Van Sitters Field for at least next week and possibly, if they're successful, 2 weeks of home playoff games. We shall see. I'd like to thank our guest today on Coach's Corner, Adam Nightingale, head coach, of course, of the USA Under 17 team. And, of course, Adam, a local guy here in the area, or has local ties. And, of course, coaches, we enjoyed having him on Coach's Corner here today. Also, Matt Parker with the Lake State Hockey Club teams with the men and women that they're starting, him and Steve Canisto. I think that'll be a successful venture for those fellas. We thank Matt Parker for joining us as well. Coach's Corner returns next Saturday morning, 11:05 a.m. till noon, here on 1230 WSOO, 1230WSOO.com, and tune in as well. Coach's Corner is a sports presentation of 1230 WSOO. That will do it for now. Until next time, we are out of here.
You've been listening to Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO Sault Ste. Marie. Join us next week for an inside look at local sports in the Eastern UP.